We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Well, howdy, folks.
Howdy!
It is your favorite Northeastern rodeo. I'm going to let you finish show number 181, coming live and direct from a rainy New York City.
Thank you for posting that it was election day, by the way, because I had no idea.
On the Pantheon Podcast Network. Well, let me say this. No one's talking about it. Yeah. Like, you know, I don't really watch the news anymore because it's just become too toxic. But I did watch local news this morning that didn't mention today was primary day. I've learned about a whole lot of things. I even saw a story about, I think about jam or something. But you know what I didn't see a story about? Today being primary day in New York State. Go figure.
Yeah. Well, you know, I voted. I got my pen. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that's not the right pen. So I have to tell you, before we get started on the show, that I had a day yesterday. You know how every once in a while in New York you go, wow, this is why I live here. It's a shit show and it's crazy and expensive, but this is why I live here. So basically, I was on my way to teach my class at LIU, Rock Nation, shout out. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking up the quad, which you know that well, and I hear a tremendous amount of music, like EDM, crazy music. And I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And then I see about 70 Indian kids covered in paint, pink, purple, dancing like lunatics to Bhangra and EDM. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. It's incredibly loud. What's happening? It's right outside my classroom. I go inside. It's a celebration of Holi.
Yeah.
Holi, which is all the colors and it's beautiful. Yeah. And I go in my classroom and I'm trying to teach and it was too noisy and it was great. But then here's the best part. There was a food table set up. And I said, oh, I'm teaching inside. It saved me some food. And I come out and they had saved me some food. So I had like the best samosa I've ever had in my life. Grandmother made it probably. The best lassi I've ever had in my life. Somebody's grandmother made it probably. And then a big old plate of chat. And I literally was like shoveling it in my mouth because, you know, me and free food. And then I was walking home. These nice kids said, oh, would you like to some color? And I'm like, sure. And they rubbed my face and I went home and I was all pink. So you know what? Sometimes New York is okay.
No, listen, those are the moments where you realize that there's still a community here and there's some hope for this city. You know what I mean?
Well, people, especially if there's Chana involved,
you know, because it feels like a mess. You know what I mean? I look around sometimes and I'm like, What's happening to New York?
Well, you know where is even worse than New York? Any place that Puffy's living right now.
Well, he's in Miami. Yeah,
is he in Miami now?
He's in Miami. He's surfaced.
Okay,
he's surfaced.
Can I say something
There's like, you know what? I have to give it to people.
I have to give it to him where he's acting like, what me worry?
Motherfuckers can be like, there's not a care in the world. I stubbed my toe and I have decided that I'm having a heart attack in 2 minutes every time.
No.
He's giving you like, I don't give a shit. I'm like, you know what?
And
Maybe I need to have that attitude.
He needs to keep his shirt on too. That was not a pretty sight of those pictures of him. Sorry. Very shallow, but I don't care. No, so all right. So for those of you who've been living under a rock, and bless you if you have, because find a rock for us to live under too.
A fraggle rock.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Anyway, Puffy's house in LA was raided and Miami was raided last week by the Department of Homeland Security. For those of you who are playing our at-home game, the Department of Homeland Security. You know, that's a big one. We're not saying anybody's guilty. We're not accusing.
Let me just say this.
That's one
I didn't see coming. I didn't realize when I was seeing what was happening, people like the FBI was like, wait, that's his Homeland Security.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is Homeland Security?
Well, it's because I did not know that Homeland Security also incorporates potential sex trafficking, I guess,
right.
Which makes sense because usually, obviously, that's a serious crime and it does usually involve. Anyway, we're not, obviously, he hasn't been charged with anything. But the only person, someone has come forward to defend him. Luther Campbell.
Well, but
or he said,
but in his weird statements, he's also like, I left the parties before
things happen.
Before a certain time. There's a lot of people who would say things about the thing that was interesting about a couple of the things that I've seen from people, because you know, everybody is coming out the woodwork and everybody's got something to say. But they would all say the same thing. But you know, there was a certain point where I knew that I had to leave the party.
Right. Well, I think what Luther Campbell's defense, what he is saying, he thinks the impetus behind all this intention is Puffy's lawsuit with a liquor company, which I think is a little bit of a stretch.
I've heard that from so many different people who feel like they feel, you know, there is a common theory going around that he's being set up.
Okay.
That he's being, that challenging all of these corporate entities, he's being set up. And that he's pissed off people now. And some of the same people who have said that to me have said, listen, I'm not saying he's the greatest guy and he's treated people well.
Right.
But they feel like, you know, they feel like he's being set up. So we shall see, right?
But that this is the reason why it's all coming in this domino effect.
And those kind of, and right. And so, and then, you know, they want to ignore that. The FBI, I guess, has been interviewing people. They have when it was reported last, one John Doe and four Jane Does with more scheduled to be interviewed.
Okay.
Whatever that means, right? Yeah. Because it's all, I'm so confused by it all. Like, you know, you read this stuff in what was put in Cassie's lawsuit, and you hope that, well, I hope not even a quarter of this is true, because that would make you a monster from what she was saying in these pages. It was really graphic. You know what I mean?
It was very disturbing.
It's kind of like, wow, you know, and I've had debates with people and they're like, well, you know, she could have left. I was like, you know, but here's the thing.
No, she was. I think
men choose young women for a reason. People
could
be impressionable. Yeah. And I think we all think that, oh, you just leave and it's weird stuff.
No.
So I think that watching people's reactions, and some people are kind of like dancing on the grave almost because they feel like, oh, he's been a horrible person and this is karma. Then you have the others who are staying silent as they should, because, you know, they've been trying to drag Usher in it every which way, and they're chopping up interviews that people have said around the years and building stories around it. And the truth of the matter is, until he's actually charged with something, everything is just theories. And, right, exactly. All being thrown to the wall.
I mean, but what we have said, though, is that, you know, there are no full-throated, he couldn't have done it. I think it's, the problem is that people see this as horrific as it is, and we've discussed this with the Cassie suit, that is within the realm of possibility of his behavior. And that's what makes it. There are certain people, if they were to pick up Ryan Reynolds tomorrow, I think everybody would go, Ryan Reynolds. Or if they were to pick up Usher tomorrow, I think everybody would go, but everybody with Puffy goes, yeah, I mean, I could see it.
I mean,
it's like Alex Rodriguez, steroid. Yeah, I could see it.
You know, it's one of those things where you're like,
I mean, I'm not saying you did it.
No, you're not. But it's that thing where there's certain things where we're like, wow, that was shocking to me. Right. And there are other things where you're like,
yeah.
Shocking's not a word I would use.
No. Yeah. I mean, you know, that would be like somebody filing a complaint because, you know, they were in an office and Lior Cohen was screaming at people. Yeah. Certain people, I'm not saying it, that's all. Leo does scream at people, or at least he used to, so that's no. But the
that was the old school music industry. The old school music industry was like lots of screaming, you could yell, a lot of screaming.
And it was great. Well, that was before cell phones, where you could really make an impact when you were screaming at somebody. Everybody screamed at everybody. Russell screamed.
It's true. Everybody screamed. Donnie screamed. Everybody screamed.
Everybody screamed. I screamed and banged his hands on the table. A lot of that. It was a lot of screaming going on. It was very funny.
I loved it.
I know. I thought it was very entertaining too. It was a lot of screaming. Get me!
Because you know, I was never the person. I'm not like one of those scary people. So when people start carrying on, I'm just like, ooh, a show.
Yeah. Really. Like, oh yay! Is there going to be snacks? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we shall see with this. But luckily for
it's
Puppy,
messy.
Something yeah, it's messy. Even stupider happened this week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Shakira. I think Shakira's great.
900 years after the moment at that too. Let's just start with
all right. So
900 years after the moment.
All right. Well, but 1 minute after the album's released, you know that. Yeah. You know that. Mm-hmm. You know, Courtney, come on. You know that there's real time and there's promotion time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She has an album to promote, so she has to say something. She has to Ken-splain the movie to us. So Shakira has come out. I think Shakira is great. I think she's lots of fun. She has not had a great last couple of years. I think she owes the government of Spain like millions.
She settled that because she finally settled it because they were like, bitch, we will put you in jail.
Jail, right.
We want our millions.
Right. So she's been through a lot, you know, and she's moved back to Miami and she has to. Okay. She is saying her complaint is that her two sons who are young and probably didn't even understand the nuance of Barbie and why I can't think of any little
girl right, well, to go see said, Barbie. She felt like it was emasculating.
It was emasculating
man,
for her child.
And I was like,
what?
Your two sons use the word emasculate.
Well, no, lady. She used the word of it. Yeah.
I was like, lady.
They couldn't express that opinion.
Don't even try it.
Yeah, I can't imagine a 9-year old going,
all,
Mom,
let
I'm
me just say this.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm a fan of Shakira. I am. But you're the lady that when you broke up, built a wall between your house, hung a witch facing your mother-in-law's house and blasted your new song 24/7.
Oh yeah, I remember that. That was fucking
you're
great.
The crazy girlfriend.
No, that was
I don't
great.
Need you.
No, that was great.
Oh, it was, but no, you're great. The crazy girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No one needs you to suddenly be, listen, I am so tired of men acting like they're under attack. Men have done so much bullshit. The fact that somebody takes a shove back to be like, how about have 5 seats? And the fact that I keep seeing men sit on my television telling me how they don't believe in abortions.
Oh, wow.
I think that men are going to be just fine with their bullshit. Shakira, shut up. That was dumb.
Well, it was A, it was dumb. B, completely missed the point of the movie. That's neither here nor there. C, it's basically a cartoon. She does know that, right? It's basically a cartoon with
human
beings.
I was just kind of like,
I mean,
are you kidding me with this?
And also, and it came out a year ago. And Ken is kind of the main character in the movie in a weird way. And your 9-year old, no 9-year old. Okay. I'm going to say this. I'm going to offer this as an absolute opinion. And I think no 9 or 10-year old boy said to their mother, I want to go see Barbie.
No 14-year-old boy.
Like,
no 15-year-old boy. No 16-year-old.
Unless they were gay.
I'm telling you, it was us queens. And the
girls.
Ladies.
And girls.
There were no men rushing to see Barbie.
Not
so
at all.
The fact that, I don't know, it's just so weird. No, I was like, you know what, lady, listen.
Yeah, I know you have an album to promote, but this is not the way to go about it.
It's like, let's just, you know.
Yeah, Shakira, shut up.
And your hips lied. Okay. You know what I'm saying? They lied.
Yeah.
It was a lie.
Yeah, well, yeah. She's, whatever. All right. The Neptune.
Okay, let me just start by saying this, but I feel like I believe Chad.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Okay, wait a minute. You don't even have to say, I feel like I believe Chad. Here, I'll take it one further. Right. I believe Chad. How's that?
It's like,
I believe Chad. How's that?
All you're right, filling
explain
out.
The, explain the case. Explain
so,
the
case. You know, you're filling out trademarks and everything for Neptunes and only your names on things.
Pharrell, like, meaning Pharrell. For, yeah. those, for those of you under the age of 40 listening to this show.
That's not an over. Listen, there are a lot of things I believe in life that can be an oversight.
That's not one of them.
Your partner's name not being on something that you guys own did you guys own 50-50 and it has always been that way?
Especially when his name is like really short, like Chad.
It's like Hugo. I don't want to hear whatever reasoning you're coming up with now.
No, it's
I don't want to hear it. I know what this industry is. The entertainment industry is the only industry in the world. Well, no, a lot of industries people really get fucked over, but not like entertainment and not like music. Music is the one place where people will actively take somebody else's shit.
Record company. People are shady.
But it's not even record company. It's management that you see. Or people signing artists into these really crazy production deals where they're beholden to you forever. And it's like, you know, you're fighting for your life or you're writing on these songs and you're... Your shares are getting cut or, you know what I mean? Just crazy, crazy shit.
I just don't believe it because the Neptunes, first off, they were young when they started, but they never struck me as naive. They were mentored by very smart people, you know.
What they did to Khalees. I don't care what anybody says.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. They have a history of kind of jerking over people and getting in lawsuits. Hello, blurred lines, you know. So I just find this whole thing to be absolutely ridiculous that you guys have been a partnership for 30 years, almost 30 mm-hmm. years, right? And suddenly, like, oh, no, Team Chad on this one, baby. Team Chad. Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, they're going to settle. I hope they settle it. And also, like...
They will. I don't think this will ever get to court, but it's a shame that it had to get to this.
Well, it's also of the two of them, the one that's going to suffer image-wise is going to be Pharrell, obviously, because Pharrell is now more than...
Well, and it keeps coming back to, why is it on the music side, there's always some shit about other people's art or their money in these deals? It's like, you know what, listen, I believe in... capitalism. I believe that people are allowed to be wealthy. But when do you have enough? When do you feel like people should have their fair share? This idea that you get the most that you, out of you can and fuck people over is really crazy business to me. Like, I'm hearing it more and more and more. I have a friend who's an artist who's been trapped on this label that doesn't believe in them and hasn't for years, won't put out any music, but also won't let them out. And it's like,
I do not understand
the weirdness. And it's the reason why, you know, I got to a place in the music industry. I was like, I can't, this just feels, it feels disgusting. Like,
yeah, it is a real weird thing. Like, what? I mean, that's a whole other guy. We could do a whole thing about that. Do you want to, do a quick break or do you want to?
No, I guess we should do the break. We'll do the break right before our guest comes. We do have a guest.
Oh, yes, we have a guest. We have Charles Hughes, our returning champion, Charles Hughes. And we're going to talk about, I don't know if you guys knew this. I don't know. Maybe some of you haven't been. I heard that Beyonce put a record out last week. I don't know.
She's a new artist from Texas.
New artist. Underground artist. Yeah. Underground Americana artist. Do you think it's any coincidence that her record came out the day Jesus rose? I'm just saying. Anyway. All right. Billie Eilish, who I love more and more and more every single day. Mm. I love her musically. I love the vibe. She is calling out her fellow artists, and Billie does kind of walk the walk on a lot of things. She's saying, enough with these multiple versions of vinyl records. You're wasting money, petroleum, everything, that it's just like a flex. It's a complete flex on your part, and stop it. And I kind of like see her point. I mean, it's how many, you know, it is kind of a waste of fossil fuels or not fossil fuels, the opposite. So I sort of see her point on this.
Well, it's not a waste of people are buying them, right?
No, it's environmentally, it's bad. it's that's her issue, is the environment. It's environmentally a stupid look. And she tries to maintain as much as a low carbon footprint as you can within the reality of being a recording artist. So she's not pretending that she's not flying places, but she does try to do that. But of course, Taylor Swift fans viewed this as an attack on Taylor Swift, and they started, you know, hounding Billie Eilish. And I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, you know, like, I think if she, first of all, Billie Eilish would never attack Taylor Swift because they're peers. Number two, it was just stupid, but I see your point. I mean, you know, it's sort of like saying, I think that you always, there's nothing wrong with people holding an industry to task for things that can be controlled, and right. You can control certain, you can, it's artists that help bring the idea of recycling at shows or locking. You know, you can do these things. So is it a gesture? Yeah, maybe she's making a gesture, but if it makes somebody think about it, then that's not necessary. She's not blaming the consumer. What she's saying to the artist is, it's like, how many versions, and we've talked about this, like, how many versions of the same record do you need after a while?
No, there's been a lot of, you can have it here, it's in five different colorways, and yeah, this one is a spout.
And that is kind of...
But, you know, you have fans who are collectors who want to buy all five colorways, and they want to buy...
It's understand that, yeah. You know, but, you know, I do understand her point, though, you know, that if I'm an environment...
Unfortunately, I think because that's the way that people are making money now, because the streaming isn't. So those actual physical sales, yeah, makes them more money. Then we always hear people, you got a billion streams on Spotify and a $40,000 check.
Right. Yeah. All right. Okay. When, very sadly, most of us have known people, sadly, who have ended their lives.
Yes.
And usually when that happens, and it's a very, and I'm not making light, it's a very sad thing. People say, I never saw it coming. Oh my God, that's so horrible. Usually people who keep telling you that they're going to do that, that's usually for, they want you to step in and say no. I'm saying this because Lizzo has threatened to quit, to which my answer is, okay.
I was just like,
what? Where's the news? Like, I'm like, okay, Courtney, I'm threatening to quit. No. I'm threatening to get a real job.
Can I just say this about people who miss the message on themselves?
That's a great way. Can we have a t-shirt made, you know, like that? Thank you. It's very deep, Courtney.
I think that she's missing the point that there was a time when everybody loved you.
Yes.
You were great.
Yes.
But the fact that you don't realize how motherfucking annoying you've gotten... You've got horrible charges against you, against your dancers. You need to settle those suits instead of letting them ASAP. Hang out.
Right.
And look in the mirror and go take a fucking vacation.
Yeah.
Or write a record. Or put out a new record. No, she needs a break. No one wants a record from her right now. But you can come back if you go settle those lawsuits. Stop letting them hang out. You're getting bad legal advice. Because here's the thing. Sometimes being on the road, you got to be a little bit of bitch in these things. These women, what they're saying is not good. So unfortunately, sometimes part of being an artist is you get God a little bit.
Yeah.
Settle these lawsuits. Go write a record. Take time off. You don't have to be on social media seeing what people are saying about you. But the thirst for still wanting to be there... And you know it's not good for your health. And right now, you're not in the best media position because people are really pissed and they feel like you've done something to these women who are saying these things and you have not figured that out yet. Right. It's like, take the temperature of the room. How about go off your social media and go live life, go write a record or make a record, be with your friends, be with your family, and go be in a creative space. But if you keep looking to have... some sort of recognition and you need
She's looking for validation all the time.
From strangers. And right now they're kind of sick of you. You went from being that girl to being that girl who does too much. And you have to recognize when you do too much, that just means that no matter what you do, people are going to have a negative reaction because they're just not in the mood for what you're giving at the moment. You want to resuscitate it? Go be quiet. Work your shit. But settle these fucking lawsuits.
But also, it's the height of hypocrisy for her to now start complaining that I'm tired of people talking about my weight. Honey, you made your entire marketing. You made it the whole thing.
The whole thing.
I mean, we would have noticed what you look like, but you put that literally front and center.
And you walked around, you want to have your ass out, you want to do all of the things. You got to be prepared. I don't care. Even if you're thin, if you walk around with your ass out at a basketball game, people are going to talk about your ass. Whether you and guess what? Even people who are, let's just say, for lack of a better word, what people consider sexy.
Right.
Even them, they don't always want everybody talking about their body, even though they may be giving sexy. So if they walk in someplace and they constantly have their ass out, you can't, you have made your body the central character in your play.
Right.
So and don't then, get upset when it gets bad reviews.
Right. And you can't keep it. Yeah. She just needs to kind of like, before she squanders whatever goodwill she has left. Because as we always say, and as everybody knows, there is a very short attention span in pop culture. And in 2 more years, she's going to be who's Lizzo.
Look at Nas X, right? Like Nas X, they try to relaunch the new campaign with the, you know, with the religious imagery that just
and that bombed. It bombed.
And now he's kind of trying to crawl it back. The thing is, this industry is littered with people that we have given a huge moment. Where they can have an album that can sell 10 million and have an arena tour and never get to that level again because it does it like of missteps. The truth of the matter, even like, and I say this about Lizzo and what she's doing, and even like that, when you use like religious iconography in your art, it needs to have a point.
Right. Well, we've had this conversation. Yeah. I mean, he is like a kid, you know, like the little girl who holds her skirt up above her head. He's looking for a shock. And the thing is that his music, he needs to have, it's like the Sam Smith thing. The music has to be as good as the shock value, because quite frankly, really nobody is shocked by, oh, religious iconography. I mean, it really is. When you have the ex-president of the United States selling goddamn Bibles, we're obviously not shocked by blasphemy anymore.
Selling Bibles, and then when he's doing his interview, when they ask him to name his favorite passage, well, no, I can't do that. That's not controversial. What's your favorite passage? No, all of them.
All of them. They're all great. Yeah. Which one did they make the movie about? Yeah, that's the one I like that one. The one with the movie that they made.
For $59.99.
Well, it comes with instructions because the original Bible obviously wasn't good enough. Because obviously the good book, it needs to be even gooder. You know? So, I mean, obviously the word of God and Jesus Christ wasn't good enough for a Trump. Ah! Okay. There's a new theater in Brooklyn. Sorry, I just had a moment. I had a nervous breakdown. Sorry, mm-hmm.
No, it sends you to tell. It's why we don't really talk about politics too much in the show, because we both end up very upset.
We're very upset, and I ate all that Indian food from yesterday, and mm-hmm. I have no leftovers, so I don't know what mm-hmm. the hell I'm going to do. There's a new theater in Brooklyn. It's right down the street. It's at Courtney's alma mater. It's at where I teach now. It's called the Brooklyn Paramount. I have seen pictures of the inside. It looks span-freaking-taculous. It was an old movie theater. It was a movie theater. It was originally a movie theater like the King's Theater and then became a rock and roll. It's the famous rock and roll venue, all the shows, and then was nothing. It was your gym, right? LIU's
It was our gym. And it's really funny. When I've seen the pictures of it, the stone, like that lobby – and those stairs, I vogued down those stairs during a fashion show at LIU. That was our gym. I've hung out in there. Those pillars are all the same, but it looks
gorgeous.
It looks gorgeous.
No, it looks amazing. No, it
I
looks
can't
amazing.
Wait to see something there.
No, I know.
When they invite us to a show, because you know,
well,
we like
I asked
to be
my
invited.
Students. I said, because it says on the outside LIU. So I mean, it's part of Long Island. It is part of Long Island University. I'm like, do we get like? No discount, nothing. We get
no, because it's Live Nation. They own it. Guess what? It's Live Nation. Live Nation is like, they might even charge the students to walk by it. They're like, there's a fee every time you walk by here.
Well, I'm thinking of like, I don't know, turning myself into a 20-year-old co-ed and doing something with my body and walking by one day and go,
hi, can I just see inside?
Mm-hmm. Maybe they'll feel sorry.
Well, you're a professor there. Maybe you should be like, can I see inside?
Yeah, I'm going to say it. I mean, yeah, but it looks absolutely gorgeous.
It looks gorgeous. What they did. Listen, it's like what they did with the United Palace up here and also the King's Theater. I love that these old Lowe's theaters that were not ripped down are completely being rejuvenated.
No, and I'm because glad
it's down. Amazing, yeah. Right? We love, because we don't really have any more of our old, if you think about the venues that you and I really used to go to, Tramps, the Ritz is Webster Hall, but most of them are all gone.
They're all
like
gone.
Irving Plaza is still here, but like,
no, but and let's be honest, Tramps was not a gorgeous place. I mean, no, this is what part of it.
You think, but the part venues, of the trauma, and it was smaller. When you saw those shows, the people were right in front of you, they were there.
The Beacon is still around, that's a great venue.
I like that's a really big one, you know. The Beacon's still big. I love the Beacon, but it's big,
and I like Radio City. The shows at Radio City,
there's nothing like seeing a show, but still, my favorite will always be Madison Square Garden. And you know what? We're going to take a break and we're going to be right back with our guest.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night, ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
And we're back. And Amy, intro.
Charles Hughes is somebody I adore and finally got to meet in person last year, but have been a fan of his forever. And you and Chris Malafi are our two returning champions. So, yay, we'll be having merch that you can walk around with. Charles Hughes is a professor, a real professor, unlike me. He actually has a PhD.
Okay.
No, you're a real
professor. I don't know about that, but okay.
No, take it. Okay, and he is an expert on many things, but we have invited him to come here today because, Charles, I don't know if you heard this because I know you live in the Midwest. Are you in the Midwest? Where are you?
Mid-South. I'm in Memphis.
Oh, you're in Memphis. Okay. Well, I don't know if you've heard this, and if I'm the first one to break the news to you, I hope you can take it. Beyonce put a record out. Did you hear anything about this?
She did?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like a secret drop. They didn't want anybody to know about it. You know, she's a girl that doesn't like a lot of attention called to herself. She's kind of like a subtle underground, but she put a record out. It was billed as a country record.
Well, people said that, but she said it's not a country record. It's a Beyonce record.
You know, Monica Lynch. You know Monica Lynch, right? Charles, who was head of Tommy Boy for years.
Oh, okay,
Okay. She said the album should have been called Carter Country instead of Cowboy Carter, which I actually like.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
And I, of course, can never hear the word country without quoting the great Carlene Carter, who described herself as the woman who put the cut in country, and I think that is the greatest.
Absolutely.
Which Beyonce would never say.
And has come to the defense of Beyonce in this album.
Of course. So, Courtney, I hope you're sitting down. Courtney, are you sitting down?
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't hate this record. I like it.
It's a really good record.
And the reason I like it, and then Charles will definitely, the reason I like it is I think that it's too long. We'll just start with that. My rule is that it should not take longer for you to make a record than for me to have a baby. I'm just saying. I had a very quick labor. That popped that sucker out.
There you go.
Yeah, I just, that's what I think. But,
and then went and got your toes done.
Right. Well, because I could finally see them after 9 months. But I think this is vocally the best she's ever sounded, because I like her in her mid to low register. She, to me, my issue with her has always been, and I've told Courtney this, it's not that I don't think that she's technically great, but there's always been a sheen to her that is almost unapproachable. She's not... Mm. I don't want people to be relatable. I'm not fucking relating. I don't relate to famous people. I'm me. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a kid. I don't need to relate to you. But I don't believe her when she sings because it's so perfect in a way and so product. This to me is vocally probably her best because she sounds more real in her mid to lower register, and she sounds more real when she's not rapping or doing the trills and everything. I don't know, that's what so for me the best songs on this record are the ones like American Requiem and 16 Carriages I love, and Protector and Bodyguard and Daughter, kind of the first half of the record actually.
Well, it's this is her least noisy record. That's
how
that's
the best way to put it. That's the best way to put it.
This is a showcase for her voice.
Yes.
This is an album where you actually, if you love Beyonce, you're getting to hear her sing. And I feel like it's been a kind of a long time since we had straight up singing Beyonce, right? Mm. The first Renaissance, which I absolutely love, is a, that's as much about the beat and the feeling, because dance music and house music and EDM and electronic, the things that it was based on, those are really beat driven things that have great lyrics that we love to sing along and throw your hands up in the air. And it feels like that. So she did a lot of different things with her voice. My favorite, and I think the most important album in her catalog, is Four. Yeah. And Four to me is the last time where we really got to hear her voice in certain ways that I felt like, wow, she was
The one with Halo, is that?
No, that's I Am Sasha Fierce. That's her big pop opus. Okay. Four is the one that follows it, that followed that, that shot Columbia, because, you know, after you come with I Am Sasha Fierce, which is Halo, Single Ladies, Ego, Diva, big pop hits, she comes with this sort of alt R&B record that they're like, I don't know what to do with this. Mm-hmm. But this record here, to me, is a pure, is as well as the choice of all of the people, and I hate that every time they're talking about, they're not mentioning all of the people who have done work on this album. I think the choices were really eclectic and very smart, but it's singing. We get to hear Beyonce sing. The thing that she does best. There's not a lot of glips and pops, and even in the up-tempo songs, we still get to hear Beyonce sing.
What do you think about the whole idea, Charles? I'm sorry, it just, you know, because to me, well, first off, this must have been the most expensive record ever to make, because there's so many, I mean, the sample clearance on this. I'm sitting there going, hello, Nancy Sinatra. Hello, Lee Greenwood. Hello, Stephen Stills. Let's keep it going, you know. But what, I mean, obviously, the reason we had you on, other than the fact that we love you, is that this record is right up your fucking lane, which is the kind of cross-pollination of R&B and country, and that's where she's getting kind of the heat. So can you love to hear your perspective from that perspective, you know?
Cool. Yeah, well, you know, I really like this record too. I agree with you that it's too long, and I think that's, you know, in some ways it's kind of luxurious in that it's so long. And I also like being able to kind of pick around in it and make my own shorter version of it, you know, with the right. But I also think she's singing beautifully on this. I love what she's doing with her sort of also layering harmonies, some of which are her, harmonies, some of which are other people.
The harmonies are beautiful on this.
I've always kind of liked weird rapping glitchy Beyonce, so I actually like that stuff too. I have been known to say glibly, but not entirely facetiously, that, you know, she's the best rapper in her marriage, but I don't need to go there.
You're not the only one who has said that, but you're not the only, and there are times sometimes I
don't hate Jay-Z.
She's the best looking rapper in her family.
I mean, and I like a lot of Jay-Z stuff and love some of it too. But in terms of the country, you know, you're both right that, you know, this, I think a lot of people, including, I mean, pretty much anybody of us who were thinking about Black country, were kind of projecting what we thought this was going to be, which was, of course, a silly idea. But we all did it. I was certainly doing it too. And in some ways, I think there's parts of that that happened. But definitely, it's so sonically expansive and so rich in all of these different traditions that, you know, some people right now are saying it's not, you know, I mean, and of course she said it's not a country record, it's a Beyonce record. And I totally respect that. But what I also hear it as is like Beyonce kind of creating this really like inclusive version of what country music has and could be. I mean, I hear everything on here from certainly like a kind of, there's a couple things that would definitely come, could come straight out of Nashville. There's also like some stuff that's super West Coasty and, you know, got the California kind of, and to hear her say
that. The duet with Miley Cyrus is Fleetwood Mac redone. Cool. I mean, the new and version like, of Landslide. I mean,
and Bodyguard. Bodyguard makes me think of literally being on the Pacific Coast Highway 1 in a convertible.
Yes.
It's a warm day. We are driving and hair is blowing. No, Bodyguard, in the wind.
Yeah.
It just feels so breezy and
no, easy. The references are all, and Courtney, to what you were saying about the people behind it, the New York Times actually has something today where they highlight some of the key contributors, including Rafael Sadiq. The problem is that credits are hard to find for this.
Because she hasn't put the credits out. And interesting, you think about somebody like Cam, right? Cam has been kicking around in Nashville for years. Yeah. Cam, and she sings background. She does some engineering work and production work and writing on this album. You know what I mean? The fact that Ray has a song that she's a co-writer on this album. It's
British
really,
Ray. I would like her to put out, you know, maybe, all right, one, I mean, and I'm sorry.
And Dolly Parton has soul credit on Jolene, even with the rewritten verse. She has,
you know, that's
soul
like my,
writing
that's
credit.
Probably one of my least favorite tracks on the album, actually, is the Jolene thing, just because.
I kind of am with you. I love the idea of it. I really do love the idea of it. But it's one of those things that I think for me works better in theory than actually like, you know, and part of it is this is maybe my hottest possible take on anything, which I'm giving to you both because I feel this is a safe space.
Thank you.
I love Jolene, but I'm kind of ready. And I get why she's covering Jolene. And again, I love the way that it becomes a call and response between the two songs. But like, I'm kind of ready for people to cover other Dolly Parton songs. There are so many other great Dolly Parton songs.
There is literally 50 years worth of Dolly Parton songs.
Yeah,
but the truth of the matter is Dolly for years has always said, I want Beyonce to cover Jolene.
Well, okay, can I be very cynical about that?
Mm-hmm.
We all love Dolly, but from a business standpoint, what better song for her to cover?
No, but from Dolly, it wouldn't matter because Dolly owns all of her publishing. So having a song on a Beyonce album is going to roll in the dollars.
I mean, that's what's so
well,
funny.
No, because Dolly has, Gracian, if you want to go commercial, Dolly, we could go to Why'd You Come In Here Looking Like That? Oh, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of commercial Dolly.
I would love to see her do Coat of Many Colors. That would have been a beautiful.
That's the one I would have loved. I mean, I would have loved Why'd You Come In Here Looking Like That. Or 9 to 5, or like, I mean,
9 to 5 would have been
or
cool.
Like, there's so many, but I would have loved to hear Coat of Many Colors in part because it's probably my favorite Dolly Parton song, but also, like, I just, you know, even if we cede the fact that nobody's going to touch I Will Always Love You anymore, which for good reason, there's still so many. So I do feel that. But I love that Cam is on it. I love Cam, and I'm so glad that she.
I'm really happy for Cam being on it.
And she's such a great artist, and she's been so vocal and active, trying to kind of throw the spotlight on underrepresented voices, too. And I love that. And I love that, the way in which she's, you know, certainly the Linda Martell thing just hit my heart in all the right ways, especially to see,
absolutely,
you know, the way in which she's kind of placed as she should be alongside the two other great country icons as these voices of wisdom. I love all the young black country artists that she's working with here. And like,
I'm a huge Willie Jones fan.
He's really good.
When I saw that Willie was on there, that, oh, I was like, I love him. I love Shaboozy too. I'm a Britney fan. I'm a Raina Roberts fan.
But
it made me discover Tanner. You know what I mean? Who's the other one? Tiara? Tiara's the other one?
Tiara like, Kennedy, yeah.
Listen, I'm like, when Amy and I, before this, first of all, I was so over all the think pieces before the album came out, and then no one had heard it, right?
I can't think piece.
Yeah, no idea. Rhiannon Giddens being on there, and all of these things. But what I said to Amy is, when Amy asked, do you think this will change the way, you know, black artists getting played at country radio? And I said, no. I think women still have a hard time being played on country radio, let alone black artists and black women. But what I do think is going to happen is we're in a streaming age, and it's going to shine a spotlight on a bunch of these artists.
Well, they've already said it.
And now you're saying some of them are getting like 200%, 400% increases in their music, their likes, and their followers.
Credits. I mean, I can understand.
I think she will eventually.
Yeah, because on one hand, you know, the criticism always of contemporary R&B is, oh my God, they had everybody and their mother work on this record. So there's that part of it. But, you know, it's funny because my second least favorite song on the, well, I don't understand Post Malone. Somebody has to explain that to me one day. I don't
but
get it.
But that's a great song, and he sounds great on it.
I just don't, I just don't understand. But the cover that I think is just so, even though it's gorgeous, is so blatantly duh, is Blackbird.
Yeah, but that makes sense for what it is.
I understand why, but I was just like, it just seems like, the only thing more duh than that would have been doo-doo yesterday when it comes to Paul McCartney. It's just like one of his sappiest.
Except it is written about black women, right? Which I did not know.
Well, he's changed his, he has said several different versions about what that's about.
But what he is saying now is that's what it's about. And that, yeah. I thought the write-up in Rolling Stone was really great. It gave a real perspective. And it kind of makes sense to me why so many black artists have covered that song. I love Dion Farris's version of that song.
I love Dion Farris.
I worked that album. I was at Columbia for that album. And I love Sylvester's version of that song with Martha and Azora from his live album in San Francisco. So, and I love that she gave Tanner a lead vocal on
that.
Well,
the harmonies
song.
On that are extraordinary.
They sound great.
I agree.
Really
and I, do. And first of all, thank the Dion, like, is one of those albums that I talk about. I feel like every 3 weeks, because it both somehow resonates with something, and also because I just think that's one of the great albums of the 90s or of any time.
And she got screwed by the
absolutely,
man in her
life. And I love that record. But you know, it's funny with Blackbird. I totally get what you mean, Amy. But I think because, and I mean, I can't say it's one of the most musically exciting ones. I probably, you know, but I really do kind of love that track for the way that it's sort of making this community thing feel kind of organic.
You know, some of the beautifully produced.
It is, yeah, it is, and some beautiful. Totally. And the voices interlocking is great. I think you know, it's and also one of the things I love about it that I hadn't really thought about until you know, a couple days into this seemingly years long thing with us thinking about Beyonce's record. But you know, Tanner and Raina both, I don't know about Tierra Kennedy or Brittany Spencer, but both Tanner Adele and Raina Roberts have talked about Beyonce as an influence. I mean, we've reached the point now where we have young artists who came up with Beyonce. Yeah. And so beyond how much I love both of them as artists, and beyond how glad I am that she spotlighted them because they're doing the kind of dance-based country stuff that is incorporating hip-hop and pop and but also country to the bone, this kind of stuff that should be on country radio and isn't. Beyond that, I just love the idea that, like, she's kind of drawing in a couple people who are her, in a sense, her artistic daughters. It's weird to talk about that, but so I kind of love that. But I agree. I think that one I really like, but I don't know that it's the most musically exciting, certainly, but it sounds beautiful. I mean, obviously the whole thing.
No, it's absolutely beautiful.
So
I mean, the first like five songs are just, it's absolutely beautiful. And like I said, it makes you, it's like Courtney said, there's a hushed tone to the album, and it makes you, because a lot of times with Beyonce, and she's not the only person who, you know, the pyrotechnics, you forget that there's somebody there who can actually sing, and you get overwhelmed by the Beyonce-ness of it all. Yeah. And, you know, this is just, you know, a very quiet, not, you know, and in fact, like I said, the songs that I don't like the most are the ones where she starts getting like Riverdance and Yaya, where there's too many things being thrown. It's like,
you know, I felt like that about Riverdance in the beginning, but now I'm really,
I have
that's
to go back.
Turning into one of my favorites on the album. And Yaya, I mean, listen, I'm a homosexual, so that has me voguing across my living room.
That's it. I'm out of here.
That's giving me, I'm dropping to the floor and literally voguing from one side of the wall.
I know,
to
but
the
I
other.
Just, I kind of like, I am very happy. I'm glad she's giving us this history lesson in a way for people who don't know the history. And I'm glad that she has opened up her horizons and whoever is in her ear is really, really smart. And she's listening to smart people and working with smart people. But I also am very happy if it was just an artistically beautiful record. Yeah. And I think she's trying in a couple of the songs to prove a point, which I understand why she has to do it. But the album to me is the best when, you know, Daughter, oh my God, Protect. Yeah. I mean, you're just like, this is a beautiful record.
Yeah.
Like, it's a beautiful record. And maybe because she's a Black woman and maybe because she's seen as a pop artifice that she feels the need to kind of, you know, it's like the pretty girl who has to remind you that she's smart. It's something I go through, Charles. You know what it's like.
I know. I understand.
Or wait a minute. Maybe I'm the smart girl who has to try to convince people she's pretty. That's what it is. I knew it was one of the two. But I think that it's one of the, I understand that there might be this kind of like, I'm going to show you motherfuckers thing.
Well, I think she's trying to tell a full story. And I think that, you know, not every part of the story is going to resonate with everybody, but it is a full story. And yes, do I think that it is too long? Yes, I do think that it's too long. But not in a bad way. It's a lot because it's saying a lot. It's a lot of to listen to,
right?
Because it is meaty, you know.
Absolutely, and it's like the way in which she. I mean, this is now. It seems old hat to say this, but you know, Beyoncé has been one of the great kind of record making auteurs for quite some time, and her albums have become so interestingly dense and layered to where she's almost like, you know, to think of this artist who I always liked her albums, but they always seemed based around these really fantastic singles, obviously.
Yes.
Right. But now it's like, I mean, certainly she has had hits, but it's like certainly Renaissance was this way. Lemonade was for kind of different reasons, right. That it was more, but it's like, she's not even, It's like these albums are these statements that are designed to be thought of together. And as you say, Courtney, like, I find even in just listening to it, you know, a bunch, but listening to it only for the last few days, just the ways in which I hear different albums every time I listen to it.
Absolutely.
And it's sort of, you know, and I mean, and not all of them are hidden for me at any particular moment. But, you know, just like the other day, I think it was all of a sudden I was like, wow, Sweet Honey Buckin' is wild. Ooh,
I love that. Yeah.
What a weird.
I love that. Yeah.
I mean, again, I love weird Beyoncé because I think that's also part of what you're saying, Amy. Like, it helps her not be just megastar Beyoncé for a minute when she's so weird that you kind of have to listen to her. Right.
Right.
But
right,
like, but like, Sweet Honey Buckin' is so strange. It starts out with I Fall to Pieces and then it goes into this like weird, like kind of dance groove, but also glitchy thing about Mechanical Bulls, which is great with Houston, right? Like, I mean, there's another callback. I just thought like, this is so interesting and strange that I just like, was like, wow, to put this on this album alongside something as pure and tight and beautiful, like Daughter or Blackbird for that matter.
16 Carriages, which is gorgeous.
An interesting choice. Yeah.
Where do you think, Charles, sorry, where do you think this album fits in the canon of her albums?
I mean, in terms of like quality or like a story, or what do you mean?
Like, because, you know, people always try to say, this is her best album, that's her best album, this is her.
New York Magazine has done a rundown.
I think when we're talking about Beyoncé albums, where do you rank this album?
I mean, it's still early, but I mean, I'm a big fan of Four. I'm glad you mentioned Four.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, I will say the self-titled album I love, although I find myself going back to it less than I would have expected to.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of do love Lemonade. I think that we, we've come around from like so much praise to like this weird sort of thing about, and then now I think that's really a masterful record. I love the last Renaissance album too, the first one. I just think that is such an interesting combination of, as you were saying, Courtney, of a lot of the things she's interested in, but done in a way that is different. I mean, I think we're going to be thinking of this album as one of her best, or at least one of her kind of biggest artistic accomplishments. Although who right. knows, right? I mean, she's, you know,
well,
it's
she's
not like-
also drawn a line in. Not to what you said about being an album artist. She's an album artist in a genre that values right. singles. You know, and one of the reasons Courtney has talked about before, she, you know, she's one of these artists that is, you know, people love her and she's, but you know, Adele has hit singles. Beyonce hasn't had a hit single. I mean, yes, Texas Hold'em, but the point is that she's making albums now. And when's the last time like a contemporary multi-platinum black artist has made an album that you have to listen to? Without
SZA.
Like the
I'll give that
well,
to SZA.
But I'm saying SZA.
But SZA's in the vein of Beyonce. SZA is a, right. I think of SZA as a pop artist.
Yes.
Just the way I think of Beyonce as a pop
artist.
Beyonce
is a pop artist.
You know yeah. what I mean?
And SZA is post Beyonce, right? So there's
absolutely.
I don't know, but she, like, I don't wanna,
she is another one who is yeah. from
an
the
acolyte.
School of
she's
Beyonce is my, yeah. you know?
Yeah, SZA is if Beyonce and Martina Topley Bird and Khalees and Kendrick had a baby, you know, and then the weirdness, you know, she's got that kind of weird, but not weird, you know, and everybody, of course, I mean, you know, and this is so in a way who gives a damn about it, but everybody is like, okay, this is like her, I don't think she recorded it for this reason, but this is like, if you don't give me album of the year for this one, then, you know, F you and every, I mean, really, honestly, at this point.
Yeah, but I, you know, like, what does that even mean, right? Because on the 2013 mean, yeah. album, I thought, okay, this album drops at midnight on the 13th. There is a video for every song. It's a different sort of Beyonce. You're hearing
this is
her.
The Beyonce. I'm sorry, I'm an idiot. This is the Beyonce record or four?
Self-titled. Because four okay. we knew was coming. Four wasn't surprise right. drop. This was the surprise
this
drop.
This is Partition.
This is Partition. This is Blow.
Drunken Love.
I'm thinking she's shaken up the entire worldwide music industry. Mm-hmm. We were in the office immediately watching everybody wake up and be like, oh my God, there's a new Beyonce album. There is a video for every song. I was like, there's no way that this cannot be the album.
Surprise!
It was the event of the year and then it wasn't. Now, Lemonade, which probably, it always shocks people when I say this, is probably my least favorite Beyonce album. I have to be honest, I don't really care about Lemonade. I don't really play Lemonade. I understand it. There's songs in it that I think are fine. I love Six Inch Heels. That's great. Mm-hmm. I'm a four person. And that, okay, the cultural impact of that, it's like, okay. But I knew she would not win it for Renaissance. I kept telling people she's not going to win it for the Black Gay record. If she did not win it for, if she did not win it, surprising the universe, if she did not win it for saying some shit that every woman who's had a difficult relationship, she is not gonna win it for the queens popping and dipping and doing the thing. Will she win it for this? I don't know, because Taylor Swift is dropping a new album this month, and you know they seem to be like, but she drops it in 2 weeks. The tortured Poet Society is coming out with 14 different versions and like five different variants. Yes.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Courtney. Like, I you know,
I can barely finish a book in a week, 2 weeks.
I mean, it is really an astonishing thing. Like, you know, the two of them are so discourse dominating that it is going to be really interesting to see what we're all like by the end of all this month,
right.
even if we're not, you know, like on the one hand, I really do, you know, admire their ability to focus the world's attention.
Yeah.
Because it's not like they don't work hard for it, but on the other hand, it's like, oh man,
can you give somebody else a break? Can somebody else put out a record, please? It's really just sort of exhausting.
And there's rumors that she's going to, rumors.
No, don't
there say. There are rumors that she's going to announce a tour.
Who? Taylor?
Beyonce. Oh, no mistake. Okay. Taylor's coming back for the whole thing. Taylor's taking off 2 months to promote this new album. Then her tour kicks back in Europe. Then it comes back to the U.S. again. She's on tour until the December.
Well, she ain't never going to be able to give that man babies if she don't stop touring. Well, I mean, come on. How's she going to give him babies if she don't stop touring? And who feeds her cats when she's away? That's what I want to know.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah, I need that job. I would like to
I'm going to say to Beyonce, I don't know, should you tour yet? I think you should wait. People are still paying off their credit cards from the $9,000 that they spent last year.
Here's the interesting thing. A tour on this record is going to be a very, how many glitter and horses and hair and things?
I'm sorry. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I know it's Beyonce, but the thing is that it would be.
It's still going to be big. Like Beyonce show is still, even if with this
but
album.
These aren't big songs.
True, but even with Beyonce, it's going to have production if she does a tour this. Because if she tried to do a smaller theater show, she would literally have to park herself someplace, like at a Broadway theater, and do a month of shows.
Maybe she can do the Paramount because her husband's from Brooklyn.
Hey, there you go. Well, and also I wonder too, I can imagine the epic, like, you know, the drama of something like American Requiem the way that she pulls that through, the stuff with Willie and Dolly and Linda's spoken, like I could see that turning in a very good way, very theatrical. So it could be
screens. Maybe
she'd take all these great young black country artists out.
Well, that would be phenomenal.
That'd be cool, you know.
That would be absolutely phenomenal. And then Rumi can come on stage with her her sister. No, I mean, like I said, I do. I did listen to it all the way through, Courtney, twice. Be proud of me on Easter. Well, you know, Sunday for Easter for Jews is like whatever. Go enjoy yourselves, people. That's nice. You're chasing an egg around a backyard. But I did get exhausted at times. There were times I was like, okay, I can't. This has gone on too long.
It's meaty. It's a meaty album. It's meaty. So I found that when I played it the first time, I was like, wow, it's still going on. Okay, this is a lot to take in. It's like I couldn't figure out what I liked. It's a lot of music. When playing it on repeat, there's songs I thought I didn't like as much. I'm listening to them more and I'm really hearing the lyrics and I'm like, okay, I'm all right. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
So there's a million different producers on this. I'm taking. I know Raphael did a lot, but you know,
there seems to be multiple producers on single songs, but you know, listen, I think that the way it's crafted, I love it as like an old country radio station and the interstitials when she's switching channels and you're hearing like, you know,
It doesn't sound like, the thing is that it sounds, I will give her this because Courtney and I always go on about our love of the one producer, one artist thing. It's grabbing from 9 million different influences. Like I said, certainly Stephen Stills' estate, or no, he's still alive, but he's probably going yowza. Yeah. Nancy Sinatra and Lynn Greenwood are probably going yowza. Thank you very much for the pool, Miss Knowles. But it doesn't sound like 9 million people produced this record. It doesn't have that kind of chaos that you often hear. So it does sound sort of seamless. I would love to. Because, you know, I love everything Raphael Sadiq does. And so I'm kind of listening for the Raphael Sadiq-iness of it all, but I can't find it. But he also just plays on a lot of it.
But he also has worked with Beyonce a lot. You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, this is a Beyonce record. So it's going to sound, and she's going to take her time because she does not have to rush. And you're right. We always talk about a one-produced album. This doesn't sound like there's a million different producers because it really does.
That's right.
It blends into
cohesive.
Itself well.
It sounds as close to a concept record as to. All right, so there's supposed to be a three. So what genre is she going to?
Oh man,
I have an idea
rock.
What I think.
I think
it's
going to be a rock.
I don't. That doesn't make sense. No, that doesn't make sense. If you really think about it, that's the one thing I think she could do it. But that would really be the hardest sell. Okay. If we're talking about foundational roots of things. I think it's going to come back home to R&B, and it will be an R&B record.
Like a real R&B record.
Because we're talking about the roots of a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And I think she's a very smart woman. So I came first with my fans who've all been following me, and I've given you this dance record, which wasn't for everybody. I know people who love Beyoncé who can appreciate that album, but they feel like it's not for them. This is a great record, and it's getting great reviews, and the fans love it, and people love it. But I also think that this is for the hardcore fans will love it. The casual Beyoncé fan will listen to it and think it's pretty, but not whatever. You have to, if you're going to return it all to the foundational thing, our really biggest genre for Black people that feels lost in the wind and has been struggling to come back really big is R&B. And to me, it makes sense as Beyoncé not to go, and now here's my rock record. Because, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. To me, it makes sense to bring it back to the foundation of who she is and to do an R&B record.
Okay, so I'm going to think, you mean R&B in the terms of soul music as opposed to what we consider R&B.
Like an old school, because think about it. You think about her records. None of them are straight up R&B, right? She's won best R&B album, but they're not. And I think this will be the one where it's like a straight up soul R&B record. So that's what I think it was.
Her Etta James stuff, closer to what she did when she did the Etta James movie.
Or the ascent, thankfully, the ascendance of Love on Top into becoming one of her most beloved tracks, which is just such a great kind of, you know, it doesn't feel retro either, right? It feels like this kind of bringing back this certain kind of R&B tradition and providing this freshness with it. I mean, I've always loved that track, and I know a lot of people who have, but it's kind of cool to see how I've read some stuff now that apparently, like, this is becoming, like, one of the most widely beloved Beyoncé songs, which I, of course, am very happy about. So I think
it should have been a huge hit in the U.S.
And Countdown.
I absolutely, it would have been a huge hit. Which is why it makes sense to me more than rock. If you really think about rock, that's a hard nut to crack.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a hard nut to crack. It would be her shortest campaign. And it's like, listen.
Well, reclaim Black music as Black music.
And I absolutely think it will, to me, I think it will be an R&B record. That makes sense.
I think that would be fantastic. And I think, you know, the risk, I shouldn't even say that because, like, she's Beyoncé and she's going to do something really interesting whether we don't. But what I was going to say is that the risk with the rock record, which is something that I worried about with the country or the kind of country-infused chapter of the Beyoncé canon, which didn't happen with this album, and I would worry about it particularly with rock, is, like, it has the potential to turn into something that feels kind of like a museum piece or like a, now I'm going to do this type of thing. And again, that didn't happen with this album. I was worried about. I thought, like, is this going to be just kind of a really well done, respectful, but kind of not that interesting catalog of things? And I was not that.
Like, with you didn't rock, want it to be a Time Life collection.
Exactly.
You know, like the Time Life.
So I don't want to suggest that that would happen if she did a rock record or anything else, because she's proven that that's not her thing. But that's my worry if it is a rock record is, like, you know, is it like how to, and it's I would love a straight up R&B soul record from her.
That's what I think it's going to be.
Oh man. Well, from your
to me, that makes sense. If you think about who her audience is, it's like, even if it's a really great rock record, you have a bunch of people who automatically are not going to be into that from it because that's not what they want.
Well, if she keeps it that retro kind of, and if we're going through,
these are the Black music genres and the things that, like, there are a lot of people who feel like we always say R&B is dead, R&B is dead, even though it's not. There are R&B artists out there making great records.
Well, I'm sorry, the reviewer in the Post with that ridiculous review said she revived a dying genre, country.
When I saw that, I was like, I think Morgan Wallen, who's had, like,
yeah, I think the guy with the number one album in the country.
His last two records have been bigger than ever, and you speak to Luke. Yeah, we just had Fast Car, country version, be like, one of the, like, that just sounded so so nuts to me.
That's what happens when you hire 12-year-olds.
That sounded so, I was like a dying genre. I was like, what is he talking? I was like, what is he talking about? Yeah, really, I was so really confused.
Yeah, you can praise somebody without having to put the knife in another in something. It's like country is not a dying genre. It's the biggest genre in the United States.
Yeah, it's the absolute opposite right now, for sure.
Full stop. It's the biggest genre, which is why so much attention is being paid. If she were doing a fucking, you know, Bulgarian throat singer album, nobody would care. And oh, that's her going to be her next album.
That'd be really interesting. Bulgarian I think it's interesting that you bring up the fast car, right? Because I think, you know, that was such a important but also kind of interesting moment to think about this sort of some of the same kind of thematic territory she's working with Cowboy Carter. And
right.
I find it really interesting to, like, there's something really powerful, I think, about the way that she is kind of recentering the conversation around this a little bit, around something that is about a black artist and a bunch of black collaborators and some white collaborators, as opposed to us thinking about what are the stakes of a white cover of, you know. And I mean, I love that Tracy Chapman had this moment, and I hope she has many, many more like this. The Black Opry was playing Fast Car in their shows as the closer, as like the group closer back in 2021. So this is fantastic. And I think Luke Combs, I got nothing against Luke Combs at all, especially how adorably into her singing she was.
I mean, that was like, that was heartbreaking. It was gorgeous to watch it. I know.
Along with her.
I know. I love
the way you could see him turning and looking.
No. That was how you pay homage.
And first of all, even when she stepped up to the mic, I was like, oh my God, it's Tracy Chapman.
No, and he also has been using very good moisturizer, obviously, because she looked phenomenal.
She just looked rich and happy, and live on a farm someplace in Northern California.
That was a beautiful moment. That really will remain one of the great moments in pop culture the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, that was fantastic and really beautiful in so many ways. And yeah, the fact that she gets to come back, in relatively speaking, on her terms and do that is just fantastic.
Come back and leave.
And I believe she owns her masters.
Yeah, she can do whatever the hell she
wants.
That
was my first question.
It's like to have a hit that massive worldwide again.
100%.
Yeah.
When you own your shit is just
probably
like,
even bigger this time. A bigger hit. You know.
And when he did that cover and it became clear that he was gonna this was gonna be a hit for him, for Luke Combs, my first question was, does she own her publishing? Because if she does, that's a totally different story in some ways. And it's not in others, but it is this. It is so different to understand the importance of her being able to literally and figuratively benefit from this in a way that so many black artists in the past have not. That is such an important thing. And
the other part that I love about it is, and then she went right back to wherever she was.
Exactly.
She wasn't, she didn't go, she's not doing a bunch of interviews, she's not talking about, she was like, I never went anywhere, I went where I wanted to be, I come out when I want to, I tour when I want to.
Still with Alice Walker? She broke up
years ago, and evidently it was nasty and they don't speak.
All right, well then, there you go, Alice Walker, you've got The Color Purple, I've got Fast Car, keep it moving.
And you know what? I think we should end it there. Thank you, Charles, for coming on.
Hey, thank you all so much.
Thank you so much.
It is. It's always great to see you. You have anything you want to promote? When's your wrestling book coming out?
Oh, I'm still working on that.
Oh, okay.
Still working on that. But I am, you know, our friend David Cantwell and I have this newsletter, Substack thing called No Fences Review that we've been doing. And David's an amazing writer, and we get to do a lot of cool stuff, including – we're obviously thinking a lot about black country beyond Beyonce in a certain way. So, check out No Fences Review. We do a lot of fun stuff over there.
How do people get to sign up? Is there a website? Is there somebody where
you go to No Fences Review, review.substack.com, that's where we are. You can sign up for free. But we really love writing about records and talking about music and check us out. We try to do some fun stuff over there.
You know what? I know you follow our page on So post something and I'll just put, I've put a couple of your things. We'll just keep reposting it on our page as well. Yeah. And tell David I said hi. It was really nice to meet him. And I'm sorry that I couldn't come to PopCon, even though I was supposed to because I was on the freaking committee. But it's a whole other conversation.
You, but we'll get both of you there. We'll get both of you there next time. We'll have.
That would be fun. We'll tell them to have it in New York, okay? Having it in LA is ridiculous.
Because unless Milan Farmer is going to be there, I'm not coming. And on that note, I want to say to everybody, you know what it is. We're on the Pantheon Podcast Network every week where you can find amazing music shows. You can find us. You can find everything. I want to say there is somebody named Nomad who has a podcast on Pantheon who is playing guitar on Cowboy Carter.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Pantheon's the place to be. So you know the deal. Like us. Tell a friend. Share our show. Follow Charles' newsletter. And we will see you next week. Bye.
All right.